And as we turn there this morning, it is time today for our annual Lichard Mission breakfast survey. It's an important thing that we do once a year to find out what everyone is having for breakfast. And if you are visiting us today, please take part in the survey. That's an important part of our enumeration. So put your hands up if you had toast for breakfast this morning. Did anyone have toast this morning? Okay, I'm relying on Pat to keep track of the numbers. Put your hand up if you had cereal for breakfast this morning. That's quite a popular option, okay. Put your hands up if you had porridge. Okay, I don't like porridge either. Put your hands up if you had an egg or eggs in some form. Okay. Put your hands up if you didn't have any breakfast, even though breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Yeah. Oh dear. I'll speak to you afterwards. Finally, put your hands up if this morning, for breakfast, you had fish cooked on a fire by the risen Lord Jesus. Anyone? No, I don't think so. But that's exactly what we find the disciples having for breakfast here in John chapter 21. They have some fish cooked on a fire by Jesus, risen from the dead, who comes to them and makes them breakfast. And this is one of my favourite moments in the whole of John's Gospel. And it's where Jesus says, I think, some of the most significant words he says in the whole of John's Gospel. And as we look at this breakfast this morning, one of the greatest breakfasts in the history of breakfasts, I think we'll see something important about Jesus. And something important about what kind of Lord the Lord Jesus is. If you were with us last week, those words I began our reading with, we looked at Jesus appearing to Thomas, showing his hands and his side. And Thomas's response when he realizes that this is Jesus risen from the dead, he says, "My Lord and my God." It's a confession that we can share this morning, "My Lord and my God." But what kind of Lord is this Lord Jesus? Well, hopefully we'll see something more about him this morning, and I hope that will give us encouragement for the week that lies ahead. So let's start by looking at the moments leading up to this significant breakfast in John chapter 21. This is the third time in John's Gospel that Jesus appears to his disciples after rising from the dead. The previous two both happened in locked rooms. This one is not in a locked room, it's on a fishing expedition. And he appears to seven of his disciples, and they're named for us in verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and my two favourite, the two others of his disciples. And they're all together on this fishing expedition. And this point in their lives is a kind of waiting period for them. Because Jesus had given them an important mission, which comes down to us as well. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. But they're still waiting for that moment when Jesus will ascend into heaven and pour out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost and empower them for witness to him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They're still waiting for that day to come. And as they are waiting, the best idea that Peter has, it's an idea that makes sense given that he's a fisherman, he says in verse 3, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples say, "We will go with you." And so they go fishing, and they fish all night and catch nothing. Empty nets, empty stomachs, empty diaries. Seems like this would be a good moment for Jesus to appear to encourage them, which is what he does. Verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He does appear, but to start with, they don't realize who it is. We've seen this before, those of you who've been with us over the last few weeks. Remember Mary, thought he was the gardener when she met him. Well, now they don't know who it is. It's just some random guy on the shore with some fishing advice. We need to look out for the two moments where they do realise who Jesus is as we keep going through these words. But first, they don't recognise him. And John, the beloved disciple, and Peter, they're the first to suspect something, that this is not just random guy on the shore with some fishing advice. The advice he gives them, which turns out to be more than just advice in verse 6, he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Now, they fished all night and haven't caught anything, but maybe this stranger on the shore has some good words for us. So they cast it, and what happens? Now, they're not able to haul it in because of how many fish there are. There's so many fish, they can't even gather them all. Those empty nets now completely full. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. They realise that this stranger on the shore is a very familiar stranger. But this looks like the handiwork of someone who turned water into wine. Someone who fed 5,000 people with just a bit of bread and some fish. The handiwork of someone who not too long ago had risen from the dead, just as he said. It is the Lord who has filled their empty nets, John says to Peter. And Peter, as soon as he hears it, he gets ready for a meeting with Jesus. He throws himself into the sea and swims to the shore. You may remember he was outrun on the way to the tomb. He's not going to be outswum on the way to Jesus this time. So Peter and John are the first to catch on. We're still waiting for the others to catch on as they arrive at shore in verse 9. And when they reach the shore, the first thing they see isn't actually Jesus. The first thing they see is breakfast. They see a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and some bread. And then Jesus does say to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And we discover that the fish that they had were large fish, and there were 153 of them. And I don't think there's any significance in the number 153, other than the fact that that's quite a lot of fish. So you have to picture 153 large fish. That's what he's given them to fill their nets. And now he gives them something else as well. Some of my favourite words in John's Gospel. He gives them an invitation to breakfast. Verse 12. Come and have breakfast. And this is the moment that Jesus fully reveals himself to them. This is the moment that they fully realise who this is. Look what happens after he says those words. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. They wanted to check, but they didn't really need to. They knew it was the Lord. Who else would it be? It's the Lord. This one who has filled their nets, but now he fills their stomachs too. This one who had given them a miraculous catch of fish, well, now he gives them breakfast. They knew then it was the Lord. And to go back to that question I asked at the beginning, what kind of Lord? What kind of Lord is this that they meet around the breakfast fire? It's a Lord who serves. A servant Lord who looks after his friends. That's what kind of Lord this is. A servant Lord who looks after his friends. In this moment of Jesus making this breakfast of fish for his disciples, it reminds me of a moment in the coronation service last weekend, if you watched it. I'm not talking about that memorable moment where they gave Charles and Camilla some barbecued fish, but I'm talking about, which didn't actually happen before you check the footage again, but that moment at the start of the service where one of the choristers of the Abbey welcomed Charles and said, Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, "We welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And King Charles III replied, "In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." And drawing on words of Jesus, who said, "The Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And I know many of you told me that you found that quite a moving moment when Charles said that. And I found it a very striking moment for this reason. But as King Charles III was saying those words, "I come not to be served, but to serve," as he said those words, outside of the Abbey, there were hundreds of people whose job that day was literally to serve Charles. I doubt, although I can't prove this, I doubt that on the morning of his coronation, King Charles III made his own breakfast. I imagine someone made it for him. And I'm fairly certain if he did make his own, he probably didn't make breakfast for seven other friends as well. And he had people to help him get dressed, and people to help him get to the service on time, and people to, there was someone holding the words that he needed to read during the service, and people to make sure everything was on schedule. He had all these people to serve him on that day. And I'm not saying that to be critical of King Charles, but just to underline how astounding it is that the one who is the King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords and the one before whom every knee will bow, including the knees of King Charles III, that this King of Kings does stoop down to make breakfast for his disciples. Isn't that astounding? That the one who is the King of Kings stoops down to build a fire and cook breakfast. Now, a few of you aren't looking very astounded, and I think I know why. Because actually what we see here, as Jesus makes this breakfast, it's actually exactly the kind of thing we'd expect of Jesus by this point in John's Gospel. If you've been following the whole journey, or if you've read John's Gospel before, this is the kind of thing that we would expect of Jesus. This one who comes to serve. But we begin John's Gospel by seeing a great act of humility as the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. As the one who is the eternal Son comes down into this world, takes on human form, stooping down to serve. And this meal that Jesus cooks for his disciples may remind some of you of another meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, where he didn't cook fish for them, but he did kneel down, the towel around his waist, some water in a bowl, and he washed his disciples' feet with that humble service. And the service of that act pales into insignificance compared to that ultimate act of service, when Jesus went to the cross to give his life, to lay down his life for us. Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, there on the cross, paying the price for our sins so we can be forgiven. And now we meet Jesus, risen from the dead, and he hasn't changed. He's still the same Jesus. He's still this servant Lord who looks after his friends. And the really important thing for us this morning, he still hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that includes today. But this Jesus still has not changed. That this Jesus that we meet cooking breakfast for his friends in John chapter 21 is the same Jesus who ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father and will one day return in glory. It's the same Jesus. that now he is physically distant from us, but spiritually he's with us to care for us. Not too long ago, James preached from Hebrews chapter 13 in a wonderful promise that we have. Hebrews 13 says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have." Why? "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That whatever our circumstances are, including whatever our financial circumstances are and our material circumstances are, that we can have this confidence that he is with us as the risen Lord Jesus to care for us. And Hebrews 13 goes on to say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper, I will not fear." Whatever difficulties and challenges and opposition we face, we can have this confidence in knowing the Lord as our helper, the risen Lord Jesus who is with us to care for us. Same Jesus today. I do need to clarify that today we do need to make our own breakfasts, that Jesus doesn't come to make breakfast for us. I don't want to give you a promise that if you become a Christian, you never have to make breakfast for yourself ever again. But I can give you this promise, that if you know Jesus, in every situation you face, Jesus cares and he's ready to help. I give you that promise if you know him. Jesus cares and is ready to help. Ready to meet you in your eternal needs, those great needs for forgiveness and for life and for hope. And ready to meet you in those daily needs as well. Needs for daily bread that we've prayed about, for encouragement and guidance. He's still the servant Lord who looks after his friends. And I use that word friends very deliberately. There are lots of words that are used in the Bible to refer to the relationship between Jesus and those who follow him. And all of those words tell us something. And one of those words is friends. Here's Jesus himself speaking in John chapter 15. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Now, obviously, the friendship that we have with Jesus is different to other kinds of friendships we have, because he's the Lord of all and we're not. There's quite a gap there. And yet, like any other friendship, the relationship that we have with Jesus as his people is a relationship of personal concern and care. Look again at how Jesus serves his disciples in John 21. He doesn't just shout at them from the shore to tell them where the fish are. And he doesn't just make a fire for them, put some fish in it, and then disappear. What's he do? He personally invites them to breakfast, and then he sits down with them and eats with them. He takes the bread and gives it to them, and so with the fish. The kind of care we see here, it's a very personal, warm, loving care. But today, Jesus loves his friends, cares about us, he knows what we need. I think of a wonderful verse in Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the relationship between Jesus and his people in the context of marriage. That marriage is intended to be a picture of the relationship between Jesus and his people. And there's one verse which says this: "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." That the risen Lord Jesus is a servant Lord who nourishes and cherishes his people, the church, us if we know him as our Lord and Saviour. The risen Lord is this servant Lord who looks after his friends and all of his friends as well. One of the things about John chapter 21, seven people go on a fishing expedition and all seven of them are invited to breakfast. And that includes Peter, who, as we'll remember more next week, Lord willing, denied Jesus three times. It included Thomas, who, as we saw, was the last of the 11 of Jesus' closest followers to come to recognise that he's risen from the dead. It included Nathanael, who we haven't heard anything really about since chapter 1 of John's Gospel. And includes those favourites of mine, the two others, who we're not even told who they are. And other people, we may feel, other people may forget us. We may feel like very forgettable people. But Jesus won't forget. He's with us to care for us. This is what kind of Lord he is. And I wonder this morning, as we look at this picture, I wonder if you have realised what kind of Lord the Lord Jesus is. It may in fact be that today is the first time you've heard this idea of Jesus coming not to be served, but to serve. Maybe in the past you've thought that Jesus was all about God coming to make demands of people and to lay burdens on people. Well, please see today that Jesus came to serve. And most importantly, to serve us in our biggest need, in our deepest need, that need for someone to deal with our spiritual debt. What do I mean by our spiritual debt? Well, the Bible says that none of us have lived as we should do. That God, our Creator, is King. But we have not shown this King the honour that we should have done. We've not loved him as we should have done. We haven't trusted him as we should have done. We haven't given him the thanks we should have done. That means that we've built up this great spiritual debt, a debt that we can't pay. And if it remains unpaid, the penalty that lies ahead of us is eternal death. But the wonderful news of the Bible is that Jesus came to serve us, that Jesus came to pay the debt for us. And the price he paid was his life. When the perfect, innocent, eternal Son gave his life on the cross, dying in our place, dying for our sins so we can be forgiven. So instead of facing the prospect of eternal death that we deserve, well, now Jesus brings us into eternal life. A life of following Jesus now, a life of being with him in glory forever. And as we follow Jesus now, we learn to serve like him. We learn what it means to follow him. And we know him as the servant Lord, who doesn't just shout commands at us from a distance, but is with us to help us and to help us live those lives that we were made for. In John 21, Jesus says those wonderful words to his disciples, come and have breakfast. Well, today, to us, he says, come. Come to me, says Jesus. Come to Jesus to know him as your Lord, as your Saviour, as your friend. If today God has given you a clearer picture of who Jesus is through his word, then come to him today. Come admitting that debt you can't repay, that sin, those ways that you've turned away from him. Come asking, as we all need to, for forgiveness and for help to live new lives as his people. If you haven't come to Jesus, then come today. Come to know him as your Lord and your Saviour and your friend. Have you realised what kind of Lord he is. Well, I know for many of you joining our service, your answer is yes. Praise God that God has shown me what kind of Lord Jesus is. And if there is you this morning, keep looking at this picture of the risen Lord Jesus in John 21 as he makes breakfast for his friends. Keep looking at who Jesus is here and find encouragement to keep stepping out into tomorrow with confidence. I don't know what your plans are for the coming week, other than recovering from the excitement of Eurovision. We should do a Who watched Eurovision yesterday? Three. Okay. Four. There we go. And Caroline did as well. That's five. More people than had eggs for breakfast. Interesting. But whatever kind of week you've got, some of you this week may have very uncertain weeks. Maybe there's a difficult phone call you know you need to make. You're not quite sure what the outcome of that will be. Maybe you're waiting for a call back from your doctor and you're not sure what the test results will be. Maybe every week is unpredictable at the moment because your physical or mental health is kind of all over the place and you don't know what tomorrow will bring. If you've got an uncertain week, you can hold on to this certainty. This Jesus is a servant Lord who knows how to look after his friends. Or maybe this week for you will be a fairly predictable week, you expect. It's just going to be business as usual. Those of you who work, you'll go to work, you'll come home, then the next day you'll repeat the cycle. Or whatever you normally do during your week, you'll meet this friend then, and you'll go through the same kind of patterns as usual. But remember that as you go about your business as usual, well, Jesus is going about his business as usual, and Jesus is in the business of looking after his friends. Find encouragement to step out into this coming week with confidence. And we can find encouragement to keep going in that mission that he's given us as his people. As the Father sent me, says Jesus, so I'm sending you, sending us out to make God known, to be his witnesses as we speak, as we pray, as we serve, as we love, as we act. And we've thought about a few of the things that hold us back from keeping going in that mission. Some of our fears and our sense of weaknesses. I think one of the things that holds us back is that we forget what a friend we have in Jesus. We forget that friend in heaven who is with us. And today we remember who this Jesus is, this servant Lord. And living as his witnesses in this world will often be hard, but we'd be confident in his warm and personal and loving care. And we may meet opposition, and we may experience failure, we'll have a sense of our continuing sin, and yet we're never alone, but this servant Lord is with us. And wonderfully, he will stay with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will stay with us until we reach that shore of eternity and we'll sit down to share breakfast with him. A wedding breakfast, the Bible says, as that relationship between Jesus and his people reaches that full glorious reality that we're heading towards. And we'll have something much better than barbecued fish. We'll have a whole of forever with our servant Lord, praising him for his care for us every step of the way. What kind of Lord the Lord Jesus is. Let me pray for us.